Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll look at the last feast of the Jews. There are four feasts in March and April. Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost. And those four feasts are also symbolic of the first coming of Jesus. But now, in September, October, we have the three later feasts. And they are Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the last one. It's interesting that the Feast of Tabernacles is in the seventh month. It's the seventh feast, and it lasts 7 days. And then day number eight is the great feast that Jesus talks about. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, not a real long passage, but Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. And this year it is October the 4th. It will begin on Wednesday for the Jewish people. For 7 days unto the Lord, verse 35, and on the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. The first day and the last day are Sabbaths. Now, a Sabbath didn't always have to be on Saturday. A Sabbath was any holy day where these celebrations fell. So the first and last day. So Wednesday for Jewish people is a Sabbath, even though it's not Saturday. Verse 36, 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire. Look at verse 39. Because this is the celebration of the gathering in of the final harvest of the year. Verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the last day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. And ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month, and ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. Now the word booth, sukkot, means a booth, a tent, a tabernacle, a shelter. And so normally we call this the Feast of Tabernacles, but the word tabernacle comes from the Latin word tabernaculum. It means tent. Even today, Jews will build a shelter in the backyard and live in it for 7 days. It reminds them of this feast and how they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years and they lived in tents. Verse 42, you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, and your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Now I want to talk about five things this morning. The first thing is the call to the feast. The call to the feast. This is outlined in Numbers chapter 29. And in Numbers chapter 29, there are 30 verses there where it says, on the first day that you do this, on the second day you do this, on the third day you do this. And it really lays out what the Jewish people are supposed to do every day for the whole 8 days. The harvest is complete. Everything is finally gathered in for the winter. You rest after the harvest and you sacrifice thanksgivings to the Lord. You thank God for the harvest you've had. Now, the agricultural cycle of the ancient Near East, and if Ed Jackson were here, Ed was an agricultural agent for the state of Florida for many years. You planted, everybody worked in the fields. Everybody planted. You know, men, women, the kids, everybody had a job. You intensely worked during the planting time. You have the former and the latter rains. It rains really two seasons out of the year, so you plant in the fall too. Now, in between and after the harvest, you got nothing to do. You do home repairs, you do hobbies, you do manufacturing in the home, your cottage industries. But the way the agricultural cycle was, when your whole focus was on growing food, you had several weeks of intense work and then a lot of time when you didn't do anything, all right? Leviticus 23:29, on the first day, on the eighth day, it is a Sabbath, it is a day of rest. So like I said, it's the seventh feast, it happens in the seventh month, and it lasts for 7 days, and then they have a great feast. So that's the call to the feast. The second thing is the celebration of the feast. They built a tent, or they built a lean-to. They waved palm branches that were bound with myrtle and willows. For 7 days, they lived in these tents. Now, 7 days, seven the number of completion. That's also if you had a really, really Jewish wedding, it lasted for 7 days. The eighth day is the seventh, is the final feast on the eighth day. Simchat Torah, the rejoicing of the law. On the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's when in the synagogues they finish reading the Torah all the way through. And then the next Sabbath, they begin in Genesis 1:1, reading the Torah all the way through again. Eighth day is the day of new beginnings. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. All Jewish boys were. Jesus rose from the dead on the eighth day. There was the Sabbath, and then on the first day of the week, the eighth day, Jesus rose from the dead. If you take the numerical number of Jesus' name in Greek, Jesus' letters add up to 888. We believe that there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then in the eighth year, Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom, his millennial kingdom. So all these things on the eighth day. In the New Testament, and this is very interesting, in the New Testament, on the last day, and the Jews called it the great day of the feast, the priest would leave the temple, take a golden pitcher, go down to the river of Kidron. Now that's in the Kidron Valley. You have Jerusalem here, the Temple Mount here. You have a valley with the river, and then up here is the Mount of Olives. So the priest would take the pitcher, go down and get a pitcher of water, go back to the temple and pour the water on the altar that all those animals had been killed on. And the blood and water would run down the altar together. When the soldier thrust the spear into the side of Jesus, what came out? Blood and water. John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus was attending the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. This is John 7, 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, now this is after the priest had poured the water on the altar, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. If any man come unto me, let him thirst. Interesting, that happened on the great day, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So you have the call to the feast, you have the celebration of the feast, and you have camping with God, which is what this is all about. God lived among his people. We serve a living God. God is active among us. They lived in tents in the wilderness, so they were supposed to build tents and live in them for a week every year to remember what God did for them in the wilderness. Now, the tabernacle, the tabernacle, was the tent that Moses made so they could worship God in the wilderness. Exodus 29:45. Exodus 29:45, God says to Moses, "And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." God tabernacled among his people in the tabernacle. Now, the temple in Jerusalem. God told David that he was to gather the material. Solomon was to build the temple so God could live among his people. 1 Kings 6:11-13. The word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this house which thou art in building, thou wilt walk to my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them. Then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." The temple was built so God could live among his chosen people. Now, tent, tabernacle in Hebrew is sukkot. In Greek it is skinos. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and skinosed among us." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and pitched his tabernacle among us. John 1:14. Jesus took on a human body and God lived in the middle of us. And his name was Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And that is a legitimate translation of that verse. Now, there's another way the New Testament uses tabernacle. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Sometime we're going to take a look at the new things in 2 Corinthians 5. But the first thing is, we get a new body. 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, our body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You know why God calls our body a tent, a tabernacle? Because it's a temporary dwelling place for our soul. We have this earth suit that our soul is in. And our soul is eternal. Our soul goes to be with God. Ecclesiastes 12:9, "The soul returns unto the God who gave it. If our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a house in heaven, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Praise God. Now, this is the same promise, God living among us, that God promises for eternity. Revelation 21:1. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither crying nor sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." God in heaven. That's a promise to us as his children. But when God regathers Israel together, God is going to live among them. And that's a prophecy in Micah 4. Micah 4:1. "In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he, that is God, shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. God living with his chosen people. It's interesting, this week, I've got a softball player on scholarship that's in my humanities class. And she wanted to know if she could write her paper in there on Jewish customs. And I said, sure, that'd be fine. But afterwards, she was one of the last students to leave the class. I said, listen, are you Jewish? She said, yes, I'm an Orthodox Jew. And I said, well, do you realize the best friends you have are Bible-believing Christians that believe the Jews are still God's chosen people and we support the country of Israel? And she said, yeah, I know that. And I told her we just had Rabbi Ron, a Messianic Jew, come and speak at our church. And she said she didn't really know what a Messianic Jew was, so I'm going to give her some material this week about Jews that have found their Messiah. And it's interesting. She says, well, I'll read it. I'm interested in all religions because my dad's Catholic, my mother's Jewish, you know. So I'm interested in religion. So anyway, that's going to be good. The call to the feast, the celebration of the feast, camping with God, living in a tabernacle, the concept of rest. Now, you're resting from your labors. You finished the final harvest of the year. You're having a seven-day feast. On the eighth day, you have a great feast. You're living in tents for a whole week to remind you of camping with God for 40 years in the wilderness. But what are you doing? You're resting up from gathering in the harvest. There is a rest for God's people. Jesus said, there's a rest of salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, part of that is having peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that is having your sins forgiven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we put our personal faith in Jesus, then God forgives us our sins. Part of that is having a purpose. God has a plan for everybody's life, and you find that when you find the rest Jesus is talking about. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there's also resting in God after you're saved. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. There is therefore a rest to the people of God. Therefore, let us labor that we enter into that rest. And that is the rest of the Spirit-filled life. Be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Some people call this the exchanged life, where God lives his life through our life. There yet remaineth a rest to the people of God, Hebrews says. But then there's a final rest in heaven. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Okay? A call to the feast, the celebration of the feast, camping with God, tabernacling, the concept of rest, and the culmination of prophecy. The Bible says Israel is going to be regathered to the land. We looked at that in the Deuteronomic covenant last Sunday, Deuteronomy 30 and 31. God is going to call his people from the four corners of the earth. Now, has that happened? Not yet. Now, I know guys that used to preach this in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, God's going to regather Jews to the land. Everybody laughed at him. Well, that's stupid. That's impossible. Then in 1948, the nation of Israel was born, and Jews came from all over the world to live in the nation of Israel. So the formation of the political nation of Israel shows that it can happen. Where are most Jews in the world today? Nation of Israel, United States of America. I think Fort Lauderdale and Miami have more Jews than Jerusalem does. But you know, there are Jews all over the world, and God is going to regather his people back to their land, the regathering of Israel. So I think God allowed the political nation to be established to show us, yes, God can do that, no matter how many people don't believe it. The rebuilding of the temple. God is going to rebuild the temple. In fact, Ezekiel calls it, God will rebuild his tabernacle in Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. And this is where people get the idea that the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt one day. Okay? God is going to give rest to every nation, because when the Prince of Peace comes back and he is sitting on the throne of his father David, it's not just Jews that are going to have peace. The whole world is going to have peace, because the Prince of Peace is going to be ruling the world. Zechariah 14, 16 and 17. Let me read that to you. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And so, the whole world, every nation, is going to go up to Jerusalem and keep the feast of tabernacles after the Battle of Armageddon. And you notice it says the ones that are left. Okay, the ones that are left. All right. But the rule of Jesus, regathering of Israel, rebuild the temple, rest for all nations, the rule of Jesus, Zechariah 14, 8 and 9. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out of Jerusalem. Remember the pitcher pouring the water over the altar? Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, I am the water of life, living waters. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be the king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name shall be one. The regathering of Israel, the rebuilding of the temple, rest for all nations, and the rule of Jesus over the whole world. The call of the feast, the celebration of the feast, camping with God, the concept of rest, and the culmination of prophecy. That is all involved in the Feast of Tabernacles that the Jewish people are going to start celebrating on this Wednesday. Some people think that Jesus is going to come back at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, he didn't come back on the Feast of Trumpets. That was a couple weeks ago, okay? So we'll see. If he comes back, are you ready? You know? Now, when he comes back, you're going to say to Jesus, well, it's about time. Oh, we're ready for him to come back. One of the greatest stories I ever heard, I heard a study of Queen Elizabeth and Prince Albert on the radio, and they were dedicated Christians. In fact, a number of times, some ambassador would come and say, I've got to meet with you on Sunday morning. This is important. And she said, well, it's more important that I go to church and worship God. Can we meet afterwards? And she did that many times. But one time she heard a sermon on the second coming of Christ. And she was had tears coming down her eyes. And one of her attendants said, Your Highness, what's wrong? She said, I wish Jesus could come back today. And they said, why? She said, so I could take my crown and throw it at his feet. So I could take my crown and throw it at his feet. You know, it's important that you're ready. It's important that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's important you know that there is not only rest in this life for the people of God, but there is eternal rest in heaven for God's people. God has a place for us. He's prepared a place for us. And it's a wonderful place that we can look forward to in life after this life. We don't die, guys. We get promoted. And God is going to make the world a better place when Jesus comes back. That's his promise. The Feast of Tabernacles, we will tabernacle with God.